And let's look at the 9th chapter of Proverbs, the first verse. Wisdom hath builded her house. Let us realize that foolishness has built a house too. The Bible tells about two classes of builders, the wise and the foolish. But I'm thinking particularly at this moment about the wise, wisdom. Wisdom hath builded her house. Now Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew and verses 24 and 25, therefore whosoever cometh to me and heareth these sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a wise man that built a house upon a rock. The rock of eternal truth, that's what we build our house on, build our Christian experience on, build our faith on, is the rock of eternal truth. That's Jesus Christ himself. Well, he built his house on a rock, and the floods descended, and the winds blew, and the storms beat against that house, and it fell not because it was on a rock. Amen. Had a good foundation. Now, the only way you and I can have any hopes of building a building, building the superstructure of our Christian experience, building up ourselves on our most holy faith, is to build on a rock. Amen. That's the only thing that'll stand the judgment shock, is to get settled down on the rock of eternal truth. Now Luke, in the 6th chapter of Luke, in verses 47 and 48, he drops us another little thought about the rock. And he said, the wise man digged deep and laid his foundation on rock. He digged deep. We're living in a superficial age today. People don't go very deep today. Consequently, they don't get very strong experiences and a strong faith that'll carry them through. In connection with digging, there's something else necessary. You have to throw out. Digging up things and just leaving them lay, you still don't get on the rock. I remember working with Brother Eugene Harmon one summer on his jobs. He had about 7 or 8 houses to build in this one project, and it was on Dobie ground. And it was real. It had packed bad. It was real difficult. Well, he got a air chisel out there to break it up. And he was breaking it up for the excavation, and I was coming along shoveling out the dirt as he broke it up. But if I got a little behind, that dirt would settle right back down and I couldn't dig it out with a shovel. He'd have to come right back over it again with that air chisel to get it out. Well, the point is, we've got to do some throwing out when we're digging. When we dig up things in our lives that are a hindrance to us, we need to throw them out. Get rid of them. Eliminate those things out of our lives. Renounce and reject them. He dig deep. Laid his foundation on a rock. Wise people do dig deep. And they dig down to find a good solid foundation for their building. Amen. Jesus said in the 16th chapter of Luke, verse 8, he said, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's sad, isn't it? Looks like the children of light ought to have the greatest wisdom of any people. But he says the children of this world are in their generation, in the things pertaining to this material earth and to their lives, are wiser than the children of light. And we find that they are. They dig deep when they're laying a foundation for a building. I'm told that over in New York City, some of those skyscraper buildings that they have over there, they've had to go so deep down in the ground to find a solid foundation for those buildings that they've just built an underground city down there. They've got maybe 2 stories or 3 stories down below the ground. They had to go down there to get a foundation for their building, and so they just built down there. Well, that's wisdom. I heard about a bridge on the Cimarron River back in Oklahoma, and it kept washing out. They built it different times and put it up there, and it kept washing out. So they were putting it in again, and they were excavating way down for the piling of that bridge, and they had some sandstone, and they brought that up and asked the engineer, now will this do? Can we found the bridge on this? And he said, no, the contract calls for solid rock. So they went on down and they hit something else and brought up a sample of that, said, can we found the bridge on this? And he examined it and no, the contract calls for solid rock. Amen. Well, the digging was difficult. They was trying to find a place to stop, and they come to something else and brought a sample of that up. He rejected that. The contract called for solid rock. Finally, they went down and they hit some solid rock. He approved that, and they built the bridge there, and as far as I know, it's never washed out anymore. There's a place that you and I can get and build our house, and it'll stand, and it'll stand the storms and tempests and floods and tests of life.
Amen.
And be secure. A good place for us to live in. Now, I've known people to try to economize in building, and their theory is, well, down here under the ground where the footing goes in here for this foundation, it doesn't show up anyhow. We can cut some corners down there and economize there, folks. That's false economy. The foundation's a very poor place to cut corners.
Amen.
When you're building. You get a poor foundation in your building, and it'll begin to settle, and the plaster will begin to crack, and the building will get out of level, and the doors and windows will jam and drag, and the longest day you live in that house, you'll wish you'd have put a little more money in that foundation and have gotten a better foundation there. Laying the foundation, it's a very important part of the building. You can cut corners up above and get by a lot better than you can cutting corners down there. If people will get started right, in their experience, they can go right. If right at the beginning they dig deep and lay their foundation on a rock and start building up from there, they can go right on with a good building. Getting started right.
Amen.
That's important. Paying the price. Obtaining the prize. Getting a real experience of salvation. Digging deep. Throwing out. Laying the foundation on a rock. Get all the loose sand out from between you and the solid rock of eternal truth, and then start laying your foundation and building your house. You can build a good solid house. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, the Apostle Paul says, referring to himself as a wise master builder. Now we have masters in all crafts. And I hear the radio advertisement of the True Value Hardware Store on the radio. Master mechanic tools. Master this and master that. Well, that's the top. Master. Master mechanic, master builder. And Paul was a master builder.
Amen.
He says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. All the solemn truth there is here. The stern fact. Folks, we're laying foundations. In our lives, we're laying foundations. And others are going to build on those foundations. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. And I don't mind telling you today that I'm building on the Apostle Paul's foundation today. We had in our Sunday school lesson this morning some about Paul and Paul's activities and Paul's steadfastness and his willingness to sacrifice that he might gain souls and whatnot, and becoming all things to all men that he might by all means save some. Such a foundation. He laid a foundation. I'm building on it. I hope you're building on it.
Amen.
It's a solid, firm foundation. He fought a good fight. He kept the faith. He finished his course. There wasn't anything left undone. A good, solid foundation laid. And that's a good example for you and me to follow. A good foundation for our building, for our lives. That's a good pattern laid out there. We're exhorted in the Holy Scriptures to follow that. Paul said, "You follow me as I follow Christ." And so we have a good pattern laid out here and a good solid foundation laid for us to build our lives on. But now, he said, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Who is another? Our children?
Yes, Lord.
Our friends? The saints? The young saints patterning after the older established saints? Building upon their foundation, following their example? Our children are going to build on the foundation that we lay for them and never forget it. Don't you forget that. Your children are going to build on the foundation that you lay for them. In the 102nd Psalm and verse 18, he said, these things shall be written for the generation following. God's interested in our children as well as in us. And he's wanting you and me to lay a good, straight, firm foundation for our children to build on. They're going to build on it, whatever kind it is. And don't forget it. If it's a faulty foundation, if it's a sandy foundation, they're going to build on it. They're going to follow the example and pattern of their parents and those before them. And God is interested in the salvation of our children, in their welfare. So he's admonishing you and me that we walk softly and that we abide in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints and laying a good foundation for the generation to come to build on. In the 48th Psalm, verse 12, he says, walk about Zion. Note the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, that ye may tell it to the generations following. Paul told Timothy, he said, the things that I have committed to you, you commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Folks, there's a continuity that runs along through this in the plan of God, that it'll be handed down from me to my children and from there on to their children and on down the line and from generation to generation in the church and among the people of God, that we build on the foundation that's been laid for us. The Word of God says, if the foundations be destroyed, what will a righteous do? That gives us an idea of how important the foundation is. And we're all laying a foundation. What hope will our children have in God if they build on the foundation we lay for them? Think that over a minute. If our children build on the foundation we have laid for them, what hope will they have in God? What has God meant to you in your personal life, as an individual, in your relationship with God? What has He meant to you? Is God personal to you? Is God real to you? Just what has God meant to you? Brother Reynolds was telling me a while back about talking to a Jehovah Witness man up in Canada when he was up there. And he asked the man, says, how long have you been in this? 30 years, wasn't it? Brother Reynolds says, what's it done for you? Well, I might ask you the same question this morning. You might say, I'm born and raised right in this truth, but what's it done for you? Well, I've been a Christian for so many years, but what's it done for you? What than what they're seeing him meaning in you and in your life. I call to mind now, and incidentally, the person I'm going to refer to now was Tom Milo's mother. Mabel Milo was a staunch saint, solid as Gibraltar. Been through some real, real hard things in life. Never shook her or moved her at all.
Amen.
Still standing in the same place. And her mother was like that. Her mother was a staunch saint that trusted in God and laid a foundation for her daughter to build on, and her daughter built on it, and it was solid and produced something solid for her.
Amen.
Now Brother Tommy is coming right along, building on the foundation of his mother. The pattern that he had laid out before him. Building right on that foundation. Those were people that could not be moved.
Amen.
Zola Stubblefield, who was Mabel Milo's mother, she wasn't moved by anything. Solid as could be. Clear on to her dying day. And when she was sick to die, her neighbors were deeply concerned about her, and one of these healers came to town and launched a healing campaign. They wanted Sister Stubblefield to go down to that healing meeting and be healed. They says, "We'll get an ambulance and we'll pay for it to take you down there." Sister Stubblefield quietly, calmly said to them, "No, I won't go." She said, "If I knew that I could go down there and be healed, be made well, and if I knew that if I laid here where I am, I'd die," said, "I would not go," said, "I do not want to expose my soul to that kind of a thing."
Amen.
Solid, solid as Gibraltar. Not moved right in the face of death. Her daughter built right on that foundation.
Yes.
Faced many things in life worse than death itself, but staunch as can be and still is. That reminds me of what Paul said to Timothy. "This faith was in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's in you." This faith I'm speaking of, this foundation that was laid, was in Zola Stubblefield, in her daughter Mabel Milo, and it's in her son Tom Milo now. Our children are going to build on our foundation. I'm reminded of a time when Sister Manuel, Laverne Manuel, had a very severe heart attack. It looked like she was going to die for sure. The assembly meeting was on down in Los Angeles, and they lived out about 6 or 7 miles from the chapel, and they had called the saints down there for prayer. Some of them were on their way out there. But it looked like she might die before they could get there. Jim, her husband, had 3 children. He took them out in the kitchen, and he says, you children's going to help me here now. Says, I've got a decision to make. Oscar was his oldest one. He said, Oscar, you're my oldest one. I'm going to have to depend on you. You're going to help me here. He said, what shall I do? Shall I call a doctor for your mother and take her to the hospital? Or let things go as they are? Oscar put his arms around his daddy and he says, no, Dad, not for her. That woman had laid a foundation. Not for her. He was willing to stand right on the foundation that his mother had laid. Oscar wasn't saved then, and he isn't saved now. But I can predict that if Oscar ever gets saved, that'll be the pattern of his life.
Amen.
He'll settle right down on that faith. He stood by it when it was a life or death matter and looked like certain death. But just let mother alone. Let her die like she lived. When my father passed away, now my father was a man that in my eyes lived a perfect life. And I never did find any fault with my father. His enemies never even found any fault with him. People that didn't agree with him didn't criticize him. I read Charles Brown's book, When the Trumpet Sounded, a history of the Evening Light Reformation and the establishment of the work in different places. He didn't agree with my father in his religious views. But when he came to the church that my father founded out there in western Oklahoma, he made just a few comments and he just passed over it quite lightly. He says, Austus Wilson was a very earnest man. That's all he said about him.
Amen.
No criticism. That's the way my father lived. And that's the way I knew him all of my life. When he passed away, my youngest brother came. And he and I stood by my father's casket. He said to me, Austus, I don't see Papa lying there. He says, I just see 50 years of the greatest life that's ever lived. If my brother ever gets an established experience of salvation, I can predict that's the foundation he'll build on.
Yes. Amen.
The pattern that was laid out for him there. Wisdom had built her a house. I read a story just a while back about an old man. Last sun was setting for him. He was almost through with his life. And he passed a chasm, went over the chasm. There was a foot log across there, and it is well worn and pretty slippery, but he got across. But when he got across, he turned around and started building a bridge over that chasm. Somebody said, well, you're an old man. You're ready to die. What are you building this bridge for? He says, I've got a grandson that'll have to pass right over this same place. Sometime later on in life, says, I'm building this bridge for him. Wisdom has built her house. We're all laying foundations. Others are going to build on them. Our children, their children, our friends, young saints, they're going to build on the foundation that we lay for them. Brother Hepler told me about one time, some of you folks knew Brother Hepler, some of you didn't maybe. But he said he had a matter of restitution to do. And he had his young grandson, 7 or 8 years old, with him, Don Hepler. Well, he went in to straighten up this matter. And he got it straightened up and paid his bill, but he said he hadn't just told everything. He just kind of shielded himself a little. When he got outside, his grandson said, Grandpa, he said, yes. He says, do you think you did that exactly right? Shook Brother Hepler. He straightened up and he said, what am I doing? I'm setting a pattern and laying a foundation for my grandson here. I can't train him this way. And he turned around and went back in there and covered all the ground, with his grandson with him and watching the process. We're training our children. We're bringing them up. The Bible said, train up a child in the way that he should go. How do we train them? Not by just telling them, but by showing them. Amen. Manifesting truth, honesty, uprightness, a closeness with God, experience with Him that brings joy and courage and peace and strength into our lives that they can see. And that they can build on in the days to come. Somebody's going to be passing over this way, the old man said. My grandson will come to this same place. Sometime in life, I'm building this bridge for him. Let us lay our foundations. Don said to me one day on the phone when he was in worse shape than he is now. He was pretty bad off then, suffering quite a bit, but he says, I want something to come out of this that my children can see. And it'll be a blessing to my children and a strength and confirmation to their faith. I want it to be that way too. That they can build on their father's foundation that he laid for them and have good faith. Wisdom has built her house. Let's see to it that as we lay our foundation, we lay our foundation in such a way that when our children build on it and pattern their lives after it, they will find grace, they'll find faith, they'll find victorious and triumphant living, they'll find the joy of the Lord and the comfort of His Spirit following right on in our path. Amen.